You are listening to the Experience Points podcast for the week of March 27th, 2024, and pop culture really has gone up in smoke.
Welcome back to the Experience Points podcast. My name is Scott Chester.
And I'm George Alboy.
We are the co-creators of ExperiencePoints.net. It is a serious but not humorless conversation about video games. Sometimes I am quite amused by the juxtapositions of our podcast episodes.
Let's have a heartfelt discussion of Journey.
We talked about so much heavy stuff last week. We talked about kind of environmentalism. We talked about intergenerational storytelling. We talked about art and the state of the industry. Journey was the fulcrum around which everything pivoted last week. And now we're talking about COD skins.
And weed, 420, smoking if you got it.
That's just our range, though. That's our range, you know.
Look, people come here for all kinds of things, you know. This is the in-depth conversation, brief conversations about a variety of things.
The hottest Call of Duty news, of course, is why you come to us.
Hey, look, smoke it if you got it. You know what I mean? That's what I heard.
Oh my God! All right, take us on this trip, if you will.
So there's an article that came out recently. It's mostly just a rehash of a press release from Call of Duty, but they announced that finally someone got my letters. Cheech and Chong are coming to Call of Duty Warzone. Now look, this is not the first weird Warzone skin.
I would say it's not even the weirdest.
Oh, I mean, absolutely not. This article by Zach Zoizen on Kotaku, though, I think gets at the heart of just kind of where we're at with these types of crossovers, which is to say they are becoming increasingly inane, sort of culturally vapid, bizarre connections that seem to have no real through line beyond the fact that they are things that exist within the goop that is the pop culture landscape. I was gonna say zeitgeist, but it's not even zeitgeist. Like, no, who the fuck cares about Cheech and Chong anymore, you know? Like,
that's a whole thing we should talk about, but like, I completely agree with you, which is like, it's not just that there's no connection, it's just that, hey, this thing was popular at some point in humanity.
At some point it's like if they did, I don't know, like Silent Film Stars bundle, like it doesn't like who's making the demand. And look, I'll take a step back here and I'll say, growing up, Cheech and Chong, I really enjoyed, right? Like, when you are a young Mexican-American, you are starved for fucking Chicano role models, you know what I mean? And Cheech and Chong were one of them. They were of a time and place.
Again, take it in the context of when it came out and what they were doing, I totally understand and appreciate Cheech and Chong.
Yes. But Cheech Marin is like almost 80 years old.
I was just going to say, I don't know how old he is.
He's 77.
I'm 78.
Yeah, he's 70. You're very close. He's 77.
Oh, man, that is old. That's so old.
Yeah, but you know what? He can still smoke weed and shoot guns. Yeah.
Just very slowly.
Yeah, like did you ever consume Cheech and Chong content, as it were?
I did not inhale. I did. I listened to the sketches, you know, Up in Smoke, obviously, like very, very popular. My grandmother watched Nash Bridges and Tommy Chong Cheech Marin was 100% on that TV show. So, I mean, like, I know who Cheech and Chong are. But, like, does anyone younger than us know who Cheech and Chong are?
It's such a bizarre idea. And it feels, in a way, like it's scraping at the bottom of the barrel. Because it's not even like a cultural callback to something relevant. So, like, let's take Ghostbusters, right?
Yeah.
I have not seen the new Ghostbusters movie, Age of Ice or something like that.
Yeah, this was the ice one. The ice level.
I did watch the trailer. And the amount of callbacks to previous ones, like, oh, we gotta fuck it. Slimer's gotta be in this one. Let's have some Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. Everybody knows Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. Like, that itself becomes tired because they're leaning on nostalgia rather than making something new within the world of Ghostbusters, which could actually be pretty fucking legit, right? But Cheech and Chong, like, bear no thematic tie-in to the COD universe, right? And the fact that it's like no apparent tie-in and irrelevant to a younger audience is extra weird, because at the very least, you know, like, Ariana Grande's in Fortnite.
Yeah.
Say what you will about that being a weird thing. Like, you can, you know, Ariana Grande can fight Goku. That's bizarre. That's, you know, that's nonsensical claptrap. But people know who Ariana Grande is, who are young and playing Fortnite.
She is selling out stadiums to this day.
Yes. So is Goku. That dude slaps. You know what I mean?
So both of their, like, power is well over 9,000.
There is a kind of, like, illogical logic to it. You know what I mean? Like, okay, look, there's no thematic connection, but except for young people. But
it's,
like,
popular right now with people under 30.
Which is the most tenuous, superficial connection you can have to justify inclusion into something. But what is this?
Here's my theories. I have a theory. One is, just for whatever reason, I think the Venn diagrams of Call of Duty and weed culture overlap.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. I mean, Snoop Dogg has already been in Call of Duty Warzone.
And there's like a million people with like a marijuana leaf, you know, clan flag or whatever, you know, like,
sure,
I just think that there's like a certain corner of weed culture is very into Call of Duty. So, like, I could see that, you know?
Yeah, I buy that. I guess I buy that. Yeah. I think.
Like, does that, I guess I don't know enough about the current weed culture to know if Cheech and Chong are still fixtures in that, in that space.
So, like, okay. Yeah, I don't know. So that's taking a step back away from Call of Duty a little bit. Uh-huh. What are your thoughts generally on brand partnerships in games? Because they are everywhere. Like, it's not just Call of Duty, Fortnite, Apex, Rainbow Six Siege, the one I'm super familiar with, right? Like, all of these have tie-ins.
I mean,
from my perspective, there are times when it makes sense, right? Like, it's a good connection. So, Rainbow Six Siege, I work for Ubisoft, so take it with a grain of salt, but they had Halo as an operator skin.
Mm.
Doesn't fit within the lore, certainly, right? Like,
right.
Master Chief is not like a fucking tactical operator. But when you have people who enjoy a sense of self-expression in their game, especially with a game they've been playing for years and they're just trying to be fun and silly or whatever, Master Chief makes sense, right? Like, he's a shooter. If Master Chief busts a door down and he fucking rocks into the room ready to fuck you up, that's intimidating, right? Cheech Marin busts the door down. Like, that's not... You know, so there's like, I think there's a granularity there where, like, maybe for me at least, it makes sense. I'm cool with it.
Yeah.
No problem. But there's just this degree of, like, where do you draw the line in terms of what is a appropriate partnered tie-in in your in-game experience versus what is not?
I mean, to your point about Master Chief, you're right about it being, like, Cheech and Chong, at least in the 70s, were... more, they weren't the people that were like militaristic, you know, with AKs busting down doors. They were the ones being busted. And so it's
the exact opposite. Like, there's no way, there's no reality where, like, the character, that sort of fictional characters, Cheech and Chong, would be gung-ho about being in a military
shooter. Actually, literally the opposite. So it's that's already a weird thing. Whereas, you're right, if Halo shows up in Siege, that makes a lot more sense because, you know, whatever. It's like, it's tactical gun dudes.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Some are sci-fi, some are like military sim.
You know? I'm more mad now that you called out the politics thing because it is even more vapid to take characters that in their time and place were counterculture and just make them culture. Like, there is no counter to it other than counter, you know, like maybe Counter-Strike when they're in that game, you know, but
it would be more counterculture if it was Counter-Strike, because at least that's a weird like subculture and not Call of Duty, you know?
Yeah. What game did Cheech and Chong actually play?
I mean, if we were actually doing this for real, Cheech and Chong would like show up in Nobi Nobi Boy or something.
They would show up in like or Uno. That's what they would be in, right, you know, like the Uno game. Like that makes sense,
right? They'd be they would show up in Unpacking, and they'd just be going through the old record labels.
Yeah, like I'd buy those tie-ins.
Yeah, but yeah, it's even weirder when it's something like this. And it's like, what are they even doing, and like who's playing this, and like what are the demographics of Call of? Like, it makes me fascinated. Because the only reason they would have done this is because they think it makes sense. You know, the only reason why the developers and the marketing team of Call of Duty would do this is that they think it's worth their time. Yeah. And so it's like, what does that say about Call of Duty's demographics that they decided that this was worth the time and effort to do something like this? You know, like,
well,
it's fascinating to me.
You and I both know that sometimes people in decision-making positions will make decisions that are not entirely data driven, despite
that never happens.
Yeah, despite ostensibly being data driven companies,
right?
I won't name names. What companies do that?
I won't name names.
Fucking
but
all of
them.
Yeah, but all of them. So I think it's perfectly feasible that there was not a widespread consensus amongst the marketing teams at Activision that this was a partnership that made sense. It is a very real possibility that someone knew someone, thought it was a cool idea, and said, yeah, fuck it, let's do it. And one thing led to another, and hey, there you are. And maybe it was cheap, right? Like, sometimes partnerships, they pay you, or you know what I mean? Like, there are efficiencies, and there's money changing hands. You know, it's probably, you know, the sort of rev share that you have to do to get, you know, I don't know, Master Chief in your game versus Cheech and Chong are not comparable, you know? So there's a scenario where, like, okay, maybe it wasn't the norm. Like, nobody wanted it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point, actually, because it could just be like, hey, we got this one memo from Bobby Kotick before he left. It just says Cheech and Chong in COD with question mark on it. Like, should we do this? It's like, whatever, let's just go. Like, yeah, you're right. It could very much be a just like, well, the bosses are reminiscing about their old days, so I guess we have to do this, you know?
Yeah. We also found a list of all of the bundles. There's so many that they probably are just out of ideas at this point, you know? Like, they got Cats, they got Tim the Tatman's in here, they got Homelander, you know, they've got, like, you're a cat now, you're DJ, you're a mushroom, you're rabid, you know? Like, it's bizarre stuff.
So the things on that topic, though, like in the Call of Duty universe, the stuff that does make more sense to me is, like, I think it's very funny that Nicki Minaj is an operator in Call of Duty.
Yeah.
And I was even hearing someone talk on a podcast where they were saying they like playing as Nicki Minaj in Call of Duty because it makes the sexists and racists really mad when you kill them with Nicki Minaj.
Oh, yeah. I mean, sign me up for that. I'm all about that.
And I was
that.
Like, that is a hilarious reason to pick a certain skin in Call of Duty, and I can totally get behind that.
I mean, if I were like a pro, like a professional esports player, I would exclusively play Nicki Minaj, Ariana Grande, like just the most trolly, like you feel like shit, put you in your place characters for sure.
But there's some weird ones here. I mean, and like there's guest characters that like aren't even, you know, controllable operators, but like Nicki Minaj makes sense. Extremely confusing to me. The Dune pack, you know, Paul Atreides.
Dude, and what's crazy is they have so many because it's Paul Atreides, but they also have the Sardaukar. They have what's his name? Fod Rakin or whatever. Like,
so
these
weird.
These are even like tier three characters, you know, like within their fiction.
The Walking Dead stuff, that makes more sense to me because that's just like, that's kind of like the Fortnite thing where it's like, hey, look, these are just two popular things that we're smashing together to try to make more popular. You know, like that makes a lot, like Rick Grimes showing up in Call of Duty. Okay, I could see that. Makes sense.
If you look at the list, so if you're listening, go to codmwstore.com and just look at the list. If you scroll down, this is what you would imagine AI would create if you said, make me tie-ins. Like, it feels like a fever dream, you know? Like, Nicki Minaj is right above Fashion Animal 2, which is right above Demon Ass. Like, you know how in video games sometimes you'll see fake posters for movies and video games? All of this shit feels like that. You know? Like, there's no clowning. You know, it just, it is a bizarre amalgamation that borders on the surreal when you
look at them. Right next to Lionel Messi, like, you know?
Yeah,
like
when you look at them all together, it's so freaking weird.
Yeah. Call of Duty, it's weird because we think about this, I think about this so much in terms of Fortnite is my go-to reference to your point where it's like, oh, look, it's Goku versus Ariana Grande versus Emperor Palpatine, you know, it's like, great, sure, like, you know, that's their thing. But then has Fortnite basically pulled the entire market further towards that absurdity, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. Although it's so strange because Fortnite, in a way, makes sense because they strive to be that sort of comical, comedic, tonally thing.
The metaverse.
Like, yeah, I just sent you, by the way, a link to Blunt Fingers, which was, I guess, their first weed iteration. And that's why Cheech and Chong are in it now. They want to smoke this guy who's just made of weed. He's just an operator made of weed.
You know, if there's... Hey, I played Pokemon. I know matchups. If I'm fighting someone that's made of weed, I know who to call. It's Cheech and Chong.
Cheech and Chong. That's a very good point.
Blunt Fingers. What the fuck?
So,
here's the other thing too, by the way, just weed stuff. It's my understanding that the kids don't fucking smoke weed anymore. It's all about edibles. That's a
good point.
Like, what the fuck are we even doing?
are we done vaping too? Is that a thing of the past?
I'm pretty sure vaping is. Well, I know people still vape, but like, when you actually hear young people talk about marijuana, they are by and large talking about edible consumption of marijuana, not fucking bong water spilling onto your Xbox, you know, like
weed brownie man coming to Call of Duty store soon. Right.
He just slides around on buttery weed.
Just fucking buttery weed. Hey guys. Patrick H. Willems, he's a video essayist who does YouTube videos about movies, has a great episode that's kind of about this idea alone, right? Which is the sort of contentification, if you will, of media, right? And there is something very tragic that this is emblematic of, right? Which is to say, you know, as we started to shift away from sort of like individual entertainment properties driving interest and like unique, art, things became quantifiable just as sort of quote unquote content, right? Like this wasn't a particular, it's lost in the shuffle, right? Because what studios care about, be they film studios or movie studios, is content with a capital C, not the thing that is potentially like, of that unique interest, because they're less interested in here's a particular thing that is interesting and more about like this ecosystem of content. Right. And everyone's competing against everybody. Like video games are now competing against Netflix and that's competing against Spotify, et cetera. Right. Mm-hmm. And that sort of content with a capital C means that everything is kind of fungible, right? Like there doesn't need to be a separation between Nicki Minaj or Cheech and Chong and Call of Duty naturally, because it's all just content, right? It's all just things you consume. And so the line blurs. And we see that already with, you know, Ghostbusters is a perfect example, but you can see this everywhere you look in Hollywood, right? Like for every Dune we get, which is like a unique event in cinema, you've got countless other, you know, malarkey tie-ins. I mean, even the Barbie movie, which I loved, is a massive ad for Mattel, right? Yeah. And we're in that sort of content with a capital C world. This doesn't make sense, but there is no sense to it anyway. Like all of that logic is gone because there's no natural line between that. And I do think we feel it. I think everybody I talk to gets it, right? Like we're not into this. It feels cringy. It feels weird. And yes, there's going to be a few people who love both Call of Duty and Cheech and Chong and are going to be jazzed by the skins. But as an overall trend, I don't think anybody's feeling really good about it. You know, this degree of crossovers happening left and right, not really meaning anything.
there is a certain, I like how you put that, where it's even, this sounds like such an old man thing to say, but like the existence of limits and boundaries is what makes things interesting, you know. And when you, and it can be kind of a fun diversion to say, yes, Goku and Darth Vader can fight, but like you probably don't want that all the time, because then it's like, well, where's the fun of like thinking up something new and contained and unique when it's all just going to be smashed into a gray paste anyway?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like, and the gray paste maybe is satisfying in the moment, but not long term. And I think people do kind of have that unease in the back of their head where it's like, well, when there's no borders, that just kind of means there's no shape to anything and everything's just kind of blah, you know?
Yep. Yep. Agreed. It's interesting because not all multiplayer games do this, right? I do think, yeah, it's something that seems to be particular to shooters. I guess we have things like Multiverses, right? Which is the Warner Brothers game where, like, the Iron Giant can fight Bugs Bunny and stuff, which very much feels like content with a capital C fighting game.
Right.
But, you know, look at something like League of Legends, and I don't think that there's been any official partner skins. That's despite a good point, them actually, easily being able to make them. Yeah. They make their own skins that are inspired by things, right? There's like Halloween skins, or they did like a porcelain skin set, which was just, you know, inspired by, I don't know, like the fucking blue and white colors of porcelain pottery or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
But they have not chosen to sort of muddy the waters a bit with content that is outside of the tone that they're looking for. Again, it is outside the lore because you have, like, so for example, there are pool party skins, right? Your champion Ziggs can be playing in a swimming pool, or, you know, different characters can be wearing swimsuits, and that's funny and absurd.
Right.
But it still managed to be within the sort of smaller world of League rather than branching out. And I guess they technically did it with what was it, like Louis Vuitton or Chanel? Mm-hmm. I forget exactly which collab that they did that did end up making it onto some skins, but it's it was more like fashion, right? Which I think esports in particular has this strange connection to as well. But anyway, like, it's interesting that it doesn't have to be that way. Like, we have cases where it's not that way, and we could have imagined a scenario where there wasn't all of these arbitrary tie-ins, right? Like, that maybe they made a weed inspired thing anyway, but it had nothing to do with Cheech and Chong, and it wasn't as blunt, if you will, as a weed man, you know?
Right. It feels like, I don't know, maybe it's just the volume or the duration, because we've been in this phase for quite some time, just kind of culturally. But I don't remember feeling this way when the progenitors of all this shit, like fighting games are, to me, are what started a lot of this stuff.
I remember when Yoda and Darth Vader were platform exclusives in Soul Calibur.
Like Link was in the Soul Calibur on GameCube exclusive thing,
and
like
as a
tie-in character.
Yeah, the first actual video game tie-in was.
I mean, there was like early ones. I know, like, you know, I feel like some of the early Street Fighters, or maybe some of the early, like, Soul Calibur, like we were saying, you know, there's been some, and that was like what, the like early 2000s or something, but it was, I think the industry was smaller, and it was also confined to what was already a pretty niche genre, even at that time, which was the fighting game genre.
Correct.
And it wasn't as, it was guest characters that happened like once or twice over that game's lifetime, because there wasn't really there weren't seasons to Soul Calibur 2, you know.
There was also a kind of like a Marvel HeroClix logic to it, right? Where you know, on the schoolyard, people argued about who would win in a fight, right? Like Superman or Spider-Man, right? Like, people would have conversations like that,
right?
Games like HeroClix allow you to play in that fantasy space, right? Where, it's going to be this Marvel person versus this Marvel person who would never have fought in canon, but we'd love to sort of have that logic to it. And I think in the early days, in something like Soul Calibur, it was that. Like, this guy's badass, like Darth Vader and Yoda, like who would want to fight? I don't know. Let's find out. Let's actually have them fight. And it felt like a kind of a sacred, unique space to do that. No one is on the schoolyard asking who would win in a fight, Cheech and Chong or Nicki Minaj. Like, that's not a thing anybody does.
I'll ask my son. Maybe kids are doing that these days. Like.
But you could see how there would be a devolution over time.
Yeah.
From something that was maybe cringy, maybe not done tactfully, but was nevertheless done sincerely.
Yeah.
Into what feels more like arbitrary commercial content with a capital C,
right?
Smudging of boundaries, you know.
Is Smash Brothers to blame for all of this?
That's a great question. I mean, because we're ride or die Smash Brothers fans.
Because and that was a pretty early one too. Because like that was what, an N64 game, like the original one.
I think that's the thing. I'm gonna give. I think I give fighting games a pass because the question is not. You know, it's not like, what would it be like to play as Cheech and Chong? It's who would win in a fight, Link or Mario.
Right.
Like, that is a conversation that we've had.
Yeah, now, that's true.
I don't think all of the additional characters justify that, right? Mm. Like, who's the worst offense from a new Smash Brothers character?
Any one of the 17 fucking sword characters?
Sword characters? I mean, honestly, maybe I would say, like, Banjo-Kazooie? Like, maybe that's a weird... Or Persona, the Persona character?
Yeah, the Persona one's a little weird. I mean, even the Street Fighter ones are probably a little weird.
I mean, it's still a fighting game, though.
That's true. That's a good point, actually.
Versus, like, an RPG character, you know?
Maybe Rob the Robot?
I mean, Solid Snake was maybe the first weird one.
That's true. You know, like, Solid Snake was strange.
Very tonally different.
Yeah.
Than the others?
Yeah, that's a good point. Because I feel like Solid Snake then paved the way for Bayonetta... and then what's Persona, his face from Persona. But I think, but like to your point about the kind of capital C content, like the thing that made Smash Brothers special was Nintendo usually is super precious about its boundaries between games and its lore and its IP, and the one time where it just kind of let all of that stuff fall to the wayside was Smash Brothers. And then the next game, zip, zip, zip. Like, Mario does not know Link, who does not know Rob the Robot. Like, you know, it wasn't this, like, constant porous boundary.
It's a fantasy outlier,
exactly. It was just like, look, this is a complete... We're going to have total strictness to the rules, except for this game, and then we're going to zip it back up, you know?
Yeah, that's a really good point. And that sacred space, to me, makes a lot of sense in terms of how you operate. Now, look, I know that... We're talking about this more seriously than it is. Like, these are just skins. They're just fun. Like, that's fine. But it is, like, the scale of it and the sort of ever-presence of it that sort of rubs me the wrong way. And I like that term precious, right? Like, what is precious about these games or these experiences? Right. I understand why someone would say, I don't want to be playing a game that I'm taking seriously and have to face off against Nicki Minaj or Ariana Grande, right? Like... And again, I think depending on the game, like Fortnite, yes. Call of Duty, maybe not. Rainbow Six Siege, like, I don't know. I mean, I think there's Rick and Morty are in Rainbow Six Siege, for example, right? Like,
yeah.
And they were really popular. But I could see why someone would say, I don't want to be taking this game seriously. And then Rick and Morty busts down the door.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So I don't know. Like, it. I kind of wish there was a toggle button for all games mandatory by the like FTC or something. Like you are able to disable non-endemic partnership things. Because in a way, I mean, another way I think about it is it feels like an ad, right?
Yeah. I mean, it probably is for most of those tie-ins, especially for like, you know, Dune and Walking Dead, all that shit, you know?
Yeah. And it goes both ways, right? Like by having, I don't know if Cheech and Chong are fucking marketing anything anymore, but like they get something out of the deal too, because they're in COD and they can say, hey, look at this. You know, we're hip, right? We're
buy my gummies, which I'm sure.
Yeah. Buy my gummies. Yeah, exactly. Right. So like there is a logic to it there from like a financial perspective, but, I don't know where I was going with this, but I think that there's something that we just lose by not being able to, make our spaces safe from the constant marketing barrage that is other properties.
Right.
You know? And right. it makes us on edge. Like, we get blasted by ads all the time, right? Like, unless you're like probably you and I, where we aggressively run ad block on everything. Right. Like, it is obnoxious, and it is, I think, displacing to be constantly bombarded with media like that. Like, yeah. it feels like I have ADHD or something when I'm looking at all of that stuff. And so there is something to say for like a precious space. Like, I can go and play League and not be worried that I'm going to see some in-game ad to another, to, you know, The Boys or Payday or whatever, you know?
Mm-hmm. There's another angle to this that I was thinking about as well, where like there is a crossover and guest character approach that is more kind of community based. And I'm thinking about, I don't know if it still exists these days because that space got bigger and more disjointed, but there was a number of years there where Shovel Knight would show up in a lot of indie games, or like Super Meat Boy, or, you know, whatever. The Bit Trip guy would show up in other indie games, but like that was more of a nod to the community of developers and a shared approach to the industry, which again didn't rub me as much the wrong way, because one, the games, most for the most part, the games were kind of thematically similar just in terms of like the ethos of like how they were built, how they were marketed, who they were marketed to. But it was also like kind of a tacit admission that like, hey, we're kind of in this together because we're not the Call of Duties of the world. And we all acknowledge each other's games because we're all kind of in the same space. And like that's another different thing where like, that's not the case when you have these mega corporation crossovers where it's like, you know, Cheech and Chong and the Call of Duty developers and the Walking Dead people and the Dune producers, like, it's not like they're in the same Discord or whatever, like trading stories about, like, you know, their art. Whereas, like,
I think, and you're getting at exactly that, like, inauthenticity of capitalism and like major corporations, because this is, in a way, like, this is not too many steps removed from KFC wishing thoughts and prayers to Kate Middleton on her cancer battle, right? Like, no one fucking cares what you have to say, KFC. You're not a person, you know? Like, but because it creates this illusion of like buddy buddy, chum chum, like, we just appreciate each other. And again, I think it makes a lot more sense with video game crossovers, but when you're going like non-endemic, it starts to just, you see the threads, you know, you see the financial marketing mumbo jumbo that I think saps it of its authenticity, right? Like, when you are inauthentic with your partnerships, I think it can be really off-putting. Certainly it is to me. And that isn't even to say everything has to be deadly serious and thematically connected, right? Like, I think it can be authentic if the creators genuinely love a thing, right? Like, let's say, I don't know.
About this in Mortal Kombat. Like, I think the Mortal Kombat is what you're describing, the Mortal Kombat example of, like, I know it's very clear that Ed Boon really likes slasher movies and B movies and stuff, because, like,
Freddy Krueger, like when Jason
and all of those people have shown up. The Alien, the Predator has shown up, where it's like, okay, this has nothing to do with Mortal Kombat, but it's clear that the developers take inspiration from these properties and really just enjoy these properties, and that's why it's here.
Absolutely agree. I think that's a very good point.
Yeah.
And it's such a fuzzy term, right? Like, authenticity or sincerity. Like, it's hard to pin it. I guess, it's, you know, it's kind of like porn, right? Like, you know it when you see it.
Yeah, exactly. Scenario. Yeah.
And I think it's just one of those. But I don't know. I don't see it with Cheech and Chong. And I think I see less and less of it with every partnership I see in most AAA games.
Right. Because it's just gotten so... it's also weird because there's no... Clearly, there's no... in a weird way, there's no limits anymore, which makes it... Sure, great. All right, it's Cheech and Chong. Like, that would have shocked me in the year 2000, but not in the year 2024.
Yeah. Very good point. Very good point. Are there any games that you play that you want this, or maybe don't want this? Like, please, no.
I feel like I still have a lot of leeway in the fighting game space, especially mm-hmm. in like the Mortal Kombats of the world, where it's like there's still something, I don't know, there's still some sort of thread from like the late 90s, early 2000s, where it's like, okay, you're actually tapping into a tradition here just as much as you're tapping into like a commercial enterprise. And so yeah. I'm willing to give that a pass. Like, you know, if fucking whoever, like if John Cena shows up in Mortal Kombat as like, you know, one of his superhero personas, it's like, okay, I get that. Like, I understand that.
Yeah.
Cause it feels like it's in the tradition of what those games have trafficked in.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense. I was thinking to like single player games, like what would it be like if Baldur's Gate 3 had a tie-in? You know, this is something I think about a lot with Magic the Gathering, because there's mm-hmm. a lot, there's a whole, this is relatively recent, a thing called The Universes Beyond. I think I've mentioned it on the podcast before, mm-hmm. where Fallout recently got a whole set for Magic the Gathering.
Mm-hmm.
So there you can buy booster packs, and Fallout characters can be in your Magic the Gathering world. I have a deck that is a Sauron deck, which again, to me, makes sense. Like, there's a natural tie-in between right. Lord of the Rings and sort of high fantasy. Significantly less so with Fallout, so that rubs me the wrong way. Right. Or there's an upcoming set, and this isn't even licensed, but it's Cowboys, and it's just full of like Western tropes and Western puns, and I love Westerns, but man, right. like you, I don't think you get it. I don't think you get it.
Right.
Why those are cool. Like right. you've got a lot of shitty puns.
Right.
It's a lot of cards say high noon and things like that, but it's not like you're just using the parlance, and to me, it comes off as authentic and tacky and cringy. Even if yeah. some of the cards are cool, like it just doesn't work. That's not, you know, it's hit and miss for some people. There was another set for Magic that was the Doctor Who set. And say what you will about Doctor Who, if you're playing within that set, thematically the cards worked. Like the cards kind of made sense for what the yeah. themes of the show are. I personally don't love the idea of running obviously sort of non-fantasy cards in my set, but I don't know, like I'm picky that way. But again, there's a sort of line you can draw between where are you sincerely putting the effort to recognize it, and because you're a genuine fan and it's authentic, versus just kind of like slapdash right. tie into it, you know?
Right. Ah, oh, man, it's so subjective, but it's so real. Like, that's the frustrating yes. thing. Like, yeah. like yeah. it's so real and extremely hard to define and quantify, but like I'm convinced that there is a rationality to it.
Yeah, it's bizarre. It's bizarre. And I do think a lot of it depends on your familiarity with the property, right? Like
yeah.
Assassin's Creed is getting a Magic the Gathering set. And I don't love it, but I also recognize that within the sort of, I guess it'd be the lore of real life, or the Assassin's Creed lore, like it works, right? Like there's Thopters and assassins and magic right. already, you know what I mean?
Right.
But when you're talking about like the Walking Dead secret lairs, no, like I don't, that doesn't work for me. So, but I don't know. Yeah. Mileage varies, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I guess we'll just, now we have some new websites to check back on every once in a while. So we can see, you know, the next, like if Cheech and Chong is in there, like really anyone can show
What's
up.
Next?
So like, I like your idea of, you know, stars of the silver screen. It's like, wow, Clark Gable is a new operator. You know, it's like,
yeah,
like anything, you know,
when are we going to see like Donald Trump in the shit? You know what I mean?
He
like
wishes, political figures, right? He wishes he would do that in a yeah. second.
Yeah. Be in Fortnite. Yeah.
1,000% he would. Oh, I mean, I just want to start getting hyper local.
My guns, like, huge. Huge.
Some people have said my guns are the best. It's like, okay, great. Fucking awesome. But like, I want to get hyper local with it, where it's like, I want the guy who runs the taco place that we go to. I want to see him in there.
Like, Miguel, yeah. I mean, look, we're not far from like AI seeing where you shop and being like, yo, we're dropping a new operator. Fucking, it's Steve from the laundromat who you see washes clothes every Wednesday.
Seriously,
you know?
I love the local Japanese market. If I could just get the, you know, the operator to be the real operator in Call of Duty of that market, like I would pay $3 for that. Just
you
to
know
support,
what?
Just support
now that
him.
You say it, like I know we're going long already for a topic that shouldn't be this long, but like I'm almost surprised we don't see memes be in
that
the
is
game.
True,
like,
actually,
where you know, where is like I don't know, like that kid with the lightsabers, like why isn't he a playable character in fucking Mortal Kombat, you know?
Yeah, like, how about the what are those kid, like, you know, like imagine like being able to do a bark of,
or like did you see the meme, like the Costco guy, you know what I mean, like just dumb TikTok shit, like those could be characters in games.
That is true. Like, well, and also like I imagine this already exists, but like any influencer, like where the fuck is Mr. Beast? I'm sure he's in Call of Duty already, right?
I mean, Tim the Tatman is in Call of Duty. Yeah,
it's crazy. So it's,
or he I mean, was. Right. I like guess the, he. I think he actually they requested to be pooled. Remember, because him and Nick Merckx had their own skins and then got pooled because Nick Merckx said some anti-vax shit. And
Right, because they're big pieces of shit. Like that. I mean, that's probably the reason why. That's probably the reason why a lot more influencers are not part of this stuff. Because in a weird way, Cheech and Chong are actually
safe,
less dangerous, because they've played the game for long.
It's just weed they're encouraging kids to smoke, you know?
I mean, whatever. It's better than like you don't know, like you could wake up one morning and your influencer has, again, you know, said a racial slur and it's like, ah, crap, now what do we do? You know?
Yeah, I'd rather have my kid be a vaxxed stoner than an unvaxxed truther.
Yes. You know? Yes. Oh my god. Okay, well, like I said, we have plenty of new websites to check in on every once in a while as we spiral further into madness, so we'll leave it there for this week. experiencepoints@gmail.com is our email address.
experiencepoints.net is the website. You can find us wherever you find podcasts. Do us a favor and tell a friend. Let us know what Marvel character do you want to co-host next week's podcast, you know?
We'll
is
do
it
a
Echo
deal.
The Hulk?
Is it Stan Lee as voiced by an AI?
Oh, yeah, sign me up.
He'd do it. All right, everyone. Until next week, thank you so much for listening. We'll talk to you soon.
Ciao. Every time.